Well, hey, I wrote this great homily about Mary and Martha. That's a beautiful gospel. I love it. But you're not going to get that homily. So if you want to get that homily, you got to come back at 11 or you've got to listen to it on the podcast. The reason I'm deviating from that with you this morning is that we've been through some troubles lately, haven't we? We've had some pain. I want to talk about that. And I want to do it from the life of Abraham. I hope everybody paid attention to the first reading. Usually that's the reading that sometimes it's hard to it's easy to miss. But in the first reading, Abraham is sitting at the edge of his tent, sitting at the doorway of his tent, and he's pondering, he's wondering, why has everything gone wrong? So let's back up. Abraham was a prince of Acadia. Do we realize that? He was a prince of Acadia. And he and his father, when the Acadians defeated the city of Ur, they came down and they were living in Ur because actually the Bible says Ur of the Chaldees, but the Chaldeans weren't there for another 1,000 years. But that's where it was. It was in southern Mesopotamia there on the Euphrates River. And Abraham and his father and all the ones who had defeated those of the city of Ur and had taken possession of it, they came and they were now in charge. Now the Acadians worshipped God as spirit. We know that because we have some archaeological digs of their from their in their territory. And we know that even as early as 10,000 BC, the people of Akkad were worshiping one God as spirit. But as they were living in Mesopotamia and they were becoming influenced by the Mesopotamians, they began to embrace idols. And Abraham and his father had this tremendous argument over this. And Abraham says, Father, you know it's wrong to possess idols. Now, the reason they possessed idols is that was the way the Mesopotamians passed deeds of property was with idols. So they were owning property in this new region, and so they were taking the idol, which was the deed to that piece of property. And Abraham said, renounce the world, leave the world behind. We don't need this property. We don't need these idols. We are going to live by the one true God. And they had this huge argument. Now, by the way, if you are reading the Bible trying to find this story, you're not going to find it there, by the way. This comes from a book, one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, called Proto-Genesis. And it's additions to the, it's traditions of the that add to the book of Genesis from those ancient Jews who lived by the Dead Sea in Qumran. So that's where this story comes from, just in case you're wondering. I've read that book, and I didn't remember that story. So as they, you know, as Abraham is praying, he hears God say, pack up your bags, leave, and I will make you a great nation. And so that's what he did. And that must have been a great word from God. You know, sometimes we really get thrilled. God says something marvelous to us. Now, here he was an Akkadian prince. He came down, he helped conquer Ur, and now they're living in Ur. And now God says, I'm going to make you not just a prince, but you are going to be the father of your own nation. Wow. And so he packs up his bags and he starts to travel. He doesn't really know where he's going. But he knows that God is with him and God's going to take him where he needs to be. And so he passes through, he goes back up through Akkad and then he moves down into Canaan. And there God speaks to him and says, this is where your nation is going to be. But then there's a famine in the land and they go down to Egypt. And he gets in trouble with Egypt because he tells Pharaoh that his wife is his sister, and that creates all kinds of problems, but Pharaoh just pays him off to get rid of him. Here, take all this and go away. So he leaves Egypt a wealthy man. He goes back to Canaan, but he still doesn't possess anything. He has no land. He has no son. He's 100 years old. His wife is 90. And he's thinking, where is God? God made me a promise. Where is he now? Now, there is a principle here of God in action among us. And that is, when God gives a vision, he lets the vision die and then resurrects the vision. And Abraham is here having watched his vision die. He's too old to have children. Sarah's too old to have children. And he is sitting there childless at the seat of his tent, in the doorway of his tent, wondering what has gone wrong. A lot of us are feeling that way right now, aren't we? Here in the last couple of months, we've had to pack up and move like Abraham did. We had to pack up and move to a new parish. We've lost people we've loved as they've gone to be with the Lord. We've lost people we've loved as they've moved out of state or moved to other parishes. We, like Abraham, sit at the doorway of our tent asking that question, where is God? But as Abraham sat there and asked this question, three men appear. Now, the ancient Christian exegetes, those who studied the scriptures in the first and second century, taught us that these men represented the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are there coming towards Abraham. And actually, they're not coming. They're just walking along the hillside. Abraham sees them. He gets up and he runs to them. And he says, do not pass my tent without letting me give you a blessing. And he brings these men into his tent and says, Sarah, prepare bread for each of them. Make a Eucharistic meal for each of these three. And so Sarah prepares the meal. She gives them to Abraham. Abraham feeds this Eucharistic meal to these three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they give him a promise. We're coming back next year, and Sarah will give birth to a son. God always allows the vision to die, and then he always resurrects it. Now Sarah, who's 90 years old, she starts to laugh. And when she has a son, you know what she names him? She names him Laughter. Yitzchak. Laughter. Which is because she laughed when she heard the word of God, and it's also because the joy of God overwhelms the destitute, overwhelms those who are lost, overwhelms those who believe that the vision God has given them has died. And she gives birth to Laughter. I know we are all struggling right now. I know we all have pain, some more than others. Those who have been in our midst for 10 years or longer, those who are part of our lives, are not present with us now, at least not physically, and that causes pain. And there are those who have chosen in anger or for whatever reason to separate themselves from us, and that causes pain. But in the death of the vision, look for God. Look for him passing by, and do not let him pass until you run to him and say, come into my tent. I will bless you and you will bless me. Let the blessing of God bring resurrection to the vision, resurrection of joy where there is only sadness, resurrection of life where all we have seen is death. Let God come. Do not let him pass until he comes into your tent and gives you his blessing.